Well, our opening scene in this pericope is the day of Easter. No, here a week later, we haven't left it yet. The story continues as it always does. And the disciples are huddled up there in the upper room. The door is locked, barred. Probably the shades on the windows are pulled down because they are fearful of the Jews. And by this, they don't mean the Jews in general. They're talking here about the leaders of the Jews, the chief priests, scribes, the Pharisees, who had ordered Jesus put to death. And they were afraid that their lives may end the same way. They were pretty sure there was a posse of Pharisees out there looking for him. And they may have been right. But as they're huddled there together, wondering what in the world is going to become of them, all of a sudden Jesus appears, despite the pulled shades, the locked doors, and probably a chair up against the doorknob itself. Here comes Jesus, and his first words are, "Peace be with you." Now they were kind of afraid. They didn't understand what was going on, and I suspect, as I am thinking about it, the last person in the world they wanted to see right then was none other than Jesus. The last person they really wanted to see, because their consciences were heavy. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. The rest of them, save the beloved disciple, had scattered like rabbits. They had run for their lives and they were sorely ashamed. And here's Jesus. And their expectation is not that he's going to say, "Peace be with you." Their expectation is that he's going to say, "What were you thinking? Why did you do that? Why did you all run? Peter, why did you deny me? I am so mad I could spit." But Jesus didn't say that. He came in, and in the midst of their guilt and their shame, he said, "Peace be with you." Shalom, which in Hebrew, of course, you know it means more than simply well-being of the soul. It means a totality of well-being. May you be whole. And may you get beyond that which keeps you from loving me right now. May you get beyond your shame and your grief and your anxiety and your guilt. Peace be with you. All is forgiven. And not just forgiven. All is made whole again. Wow. And they rejoiced. He showed them his hands and his side, just to prove it was really him. And then they rejoiced. When I was a pastor over at Westminster in Rome, over in Cave Spring, we had the School for the Deaf, Hearing Impaired. And so we had some interplay between Westminster and that school. And the sign for Jesus is you take your right middle finger and you put it to your palm. Then you take your left middle finger and you put it to your palm. That's the universal sign for Jesus. I bet you didn't know that, did you? It's always so nice to feel a bit smug and superior. And they believed. But somebody was missing. The fellowship was not complete. Thomas wasn't there. I like to think he made a quick run down to Wendy's or McDonald's to get food for everybody. That's the kind of person Thomas was, the pragmatist. "Well, we got to eat. What do you want? Big Mac fries, large Diet Coke." Why would you have a Diet Coke with that? Okay. So anyway, Thomas isn't there, and they tell him, we have seen the Lord, and Thomas says, unless I put my fingers in the marks on his hand, in his hands, and put my hand in the wound of his side, I'm not going to believe. I just gotta love Thomas. He's such the pragmatist. And I think I told you last year this time when we talked about Thomas that he always reminds me of Eeyore. Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, unless I see the marks in his hands and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. He was kind of the same way when Jesus said, we're going to Jerusalem. And Thomas's comment then was, well, let us go with him to Jerusalem that we may also die. The gospel according to Eeyore. Now, an aside. Thomas did come to know Jesus in a new and dramatic way. And he left that place, and tradition and history tell us that Thomas actually went off to India and founded the Bar Toma Church, which means Sons of Thomas. And we believe he even went so far as to go up into China and preach the gospel there and start churches. There are ancient churches in India and China that bear the marks of Thomas. Maybe you knew that already, or maybe you didn't, but it's a good thing to know that he went from being quote-unquote doubting Thomas to being one of the most well-traveled of the apostles. So anyway, Thomas was not asking for anything that the other disciples, or at this point apostles, had not had. He too wanted to see the marks in his hands, the wound on his side. He wasn't asking for anything beyond what had already been shared. And so when Jesus comes in, now we're a week later, once again Jesus puts Slage to shame, comes in through the locked door, and goes right up to Thomas and says, peace be with you. Put your fingers in the marks on my hands. Put your hand in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And Thomas responds, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says, it's a great thing that you've seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen but believed. Now there are two things I want to talk about. And the first is the problem of doubt. We all have doubts. If you tell me you don't have any doubts about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I will to your face call you a liar. And you may punch me in the nose for doing it. Good luck, I'm quick. I know how to run. I come from a long line of live cowards. But we all have our doubts, and they all assail us. But I want you to remember what an old professor told me a long time ago that has been a part of my life and faith development ever since. The quality of faith is always measured by the gravity of doubt. I'll say that again. The quality of faith is always measured by the gravity of doubt. Doubts are given to us as part of our growth experience. We have to cope with our doubts. They're never going to go away. They're always there. The question is, what are you going to do to be able to move through the valley of the shadow of doubt and keep your faith moving anyway? And it is difficult. It is part of who and what we are. There is nothing easy about being human. I'm going to have that printed on a bumper sticker somewhere. There's nothing easy about being human. There is nothing easy about being a Christian. It is a continual process of development and discovery and joy and sorrow, disappointment in ourselves, sometimes disappointment in God. And yes, we can move through that. That's why we have each other. When one of us falls, when one of us is in grief or in shame or in doubt, we have each other to build us up. Don't be afraid of doubt. It's merely a mark that you are actually struggling to find purpose in life. And it's also a good sign. You're not dead on the side of the road. The second thing I want to talk about is this problem of belief. Jesus says to Thomas, "You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen." I want to revise or reverse that saying. You know, seeing is believing. I want to change that. I want to transpose those verbs. Believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. When we are able to let our faith color our perceptions, we see things in an entirely new light. Things make sense. And believe it or not, seen through the lenses of faith, there are a whole lot of things that just don't make any sense anymore. But believing is seeing. And that's what Jesus is saying. When we live our lives on the basis of our faith, even when our doubts are included in the baggage, which they always are, believing is seeing. Seeing things afresh and anew. And you and I, who live on this side of Easter, who have never had the pleasure of shaking Jesus' hand or looking him in the eye, when believing is seeing, we change that also. Because you see, we begin to perceive Jesus in the people around us. We begin to see the love of Jesus emanating from people we hardly know. We begin to see the presence of Jesus in the ongoing work which we do together and in the ongoing work of brother and sister Christians everywhere. Believing is indeed seeing, seeing anew and rejoicing afresh. Let us strive to believe, so that we can all the better see. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your presence. And as we come to celebrate this sacrament, may your life flow through us in a way such that others can see and believe. This we ask by the power of Jesus our Lord. Amen.